Mr. Lowry, Reel 5. You were on your way on your troop ship. What ports of call did you make?
We called it on the coast of Africa. We're on the coast of Africa. There's trouble there now.
Freetown.
Freetown. Yeah. Freetown, yeah. We called in there, yes. We had a bit of a scare there. There was a German plane came over, but nothing happened. The way it went. We left Freetown, went down to Durban. Durban, yeah.
And Durban, do you remember Durban? You usually got, most troop ships got quite a welcome in Durban.
Oh, we did. When we come along the dockside, the lady, I think it's been heard of this, the lady in white was singing all these patriotic songs, the law was being hanged and such like. And they were throwing oranges on the ship, on ship's deck. And we hadn't seen oranges for quite a long time, partly before the war. Yeah.
Did you get ashore?
Oh, yes. We came off that ship. We were 3 weeks ashore. Went to the football field in Bibiang's. That's two men to a team. And we had 3 weeks, three lovely weeks in Devon. We were treated like... We couldn't do no wrong by the people in Devon. Mostly the Jewish people, because they had, their canteen was very, very cheap. Cigarettes were cheap. Cigarettes were free. That's it. Fruit was free. Yeah, they were treated very well in Devon. But the biggest shock, one of the shocks we got, we were three of us together. The bus there, we could get in a bus and go anywhere. We were waiting for this bus. There was an Indian lady standing next to us. Of course, naturally, we come from England. We got behind her later on. We were going to get on, and this conductor shoved her off. We were surprised. Very surprised, eh? And that was the first we got to know about apartheid. Yeah.
So this was a white bus, presumably?
Oh, yes. Went upstairs, a double-decker. Went upstairs. And on the rear, there's about six seats for blacks. That's all there was, yeah. We thought, well, we're supposed to be fighting for freedom, see? We three from England, we're 21-year-old? Yeah. But we never hadn't heard of this. Well, you heard rumours of our threat in Africa, but not like at the present year. But that's the first thing we got about apartheid. In Durban, they went out to certain seats for the blacks. They went out on the beaches, blacks, and such things. Yeah.
Were you invited into anyone's homes?
No, but went up. We talked to a chap. He came from Leeds, and he was an electrician. And he was saying how good life was for him, because he had a house on his home ground. And these very cheap servants, the black people, very cheap. And he said, he was an electrician, he said, how good life was. But no way would I went there back after a while. I didn't like the whole atmosphere, the way it was, yeah, no.
And you, after 3 weeks, you boarded the ship again, and where did you go then?
Yeah. After 3 weeks, we boarded a ship called the Dunira. Dunira, yes. And that's a purpose-made troop ship. Even pre-war, because they all set the Amex in our ship. We went up to Bombay. I've recorded in Bombay. Well, some troops got off, but we kept it on ship. We allowed 24, a few hours leave in Bombay. See? And that's where I learned another lesson. Because it's the Indian woman. You came along the side. Yeah. And a Saab, a beggar. Go on, mark me, put me on my pocket. I think it was a 5 and a piece. They give it. Wow! I was surrounded by beggars. That's one lesson I learned. Never do that again. Anyway.
What was your first impressions of India?
Well, in the bay, it was felt. in the bay when the ship anchored, you could smell coming from India, heat and what you could smell Bombay, yeah, and the poverty,
oh,
yeah, real poverty, yeah, most poverty, one of the most poverty stricken places in the world, with people lying about beggars and such like, yeah. Well, it's two extremes, the very rich and the very, very, very poor. Yeah.
Had you been issued with tropical kit by now?
Oh, yes, with tropical shorts for during the day and slacks during the night. You had to wear slacks at night on account of mosquitoes. Well, none of them was on the ship. But when you're ashore, you had to wear slacks on account of mosquitoes. Malaria. Mm.
And were you with the Warwickshires by now, or were you just on draft?
I'm still with artillery.
You're still artillery at this point in time?
I'm still artillery. Anyway, we were in Bombay this night, and we moved down to Colombo in Ceylon. Sri Lanka now, I say.
What was your first impressions of Colombo?
Oh, a lot better than Bombay. Far better. Really. A really nice little island, Ceylon. Oh yes, it was quite nice, indeed. But heat, very hot. Yes, we had a good sight there, in Bombay. I think, I suppose, it was after Singapore, Ceylon would be one that maybe they're fighting to be getting Japs in bed, and that's for the bottom of India, say. That's where we are, part. Thinking my way of thinking. Yeah, we're there to protect Bombay anyway.
And where was your anti-aircraft site?
In the city.
In the city of Colombo?
Oh, yes, in the city of Colombo, yeah. Wasn't on the outside of the city. Quite just, yeah, that's in the city, yeah.
And what was life like for you there?
Oh, it was quite pleasant, yeah. We had no air raids, not a one, not a air raid. But it was quite, we were on duty, actually. But, no, when we got leave, was Colombo itself was very nice. Yeah, very. Mm.
What kind of activities did you get up to when you were on leave in the city? Well, what was there for the soldiers?
Yes, there was clubs, yeah, different WDS clubs, there were different clubs, Soviet and Army clubs, and canteens and things like that. Mostly went sightseeing, being strange, yeah.
Mm. And did that get you out into the countryside?
No, just in the city. We did go up to a place, a tea plantation, a candy place for a trip. It was an organised trip. That was on a tea plantation. Mm. Yeah.
How did you get on with the local population?
Well, they're quite good, yeah. Quite good. If you're buying anything, you had a barter. You couldn't, there's no fixed price. We learnt that out of barter. Yes, but very well the local population, yes, very well.
They're quite peaceful, were they? They didn't resent the British?
No. No, they didn't. No resentment at that time, yeah. Not a bit. We were in Bombay, then we...
How long were you there?
About 18 months, a year and a half.
So what essentially was your day? What would you do from getting up to going to bed, in effect, on a typical day?
Oh, you get up, get a bit of PT, a few some exercise, a little run around, yeah. You know, do your duties, clean, you get certain duties, fatigues, you know, clean the barracks, and clean, maybe go in the kitchen, help to, you get your breakfast, help to get there. You go in the kitchen and clean the pans and stuff like, yeah. Then we get certain amount of drill and foot drill and things like that. And we drill on the gun. We have gun drill.
What essentially was gun drill?
In fact, a predictor. Underneath the predictor, these large batteries, just very large, like just like a car battery. And there's a lead from each, from that battery the four guns, and all the information was travelled to the guns. Was really on the gun was a bearing and handle, so the two gun layers could follow, one for the handle, one for the bearing. They followed the dials and went round.
And you went through that exercise
every day
on drill. Were the predictors and the equipment there, the instruments, had they improved since the early days of the war?
Oh yes, first we had the British predictor. Then after that we got the American, with improvement on it. Yeah, we got the American predictor.
In what way? Was it more accurate?
I think it was more accurate. It was easier to handle. Yes, it was easier to handle. Yes, it was more accurate. And the dials were. They weren't so complicated, the dials. For the few, whether the bearing height and whatever. Yeah, because the height had to put it. That from the range finder, the height had to be put in that predictor. Height, range, and even the wind speed had to be put in that window. Because that was it.
This particular
instrument
could do that?
Oh, yes. If now you could put. Well, similar to those was the modern computer, only you're starting, really. So.
Did you get to fire the guns? I know you weren't attacked, but as part of your drill, did you actually get to fire them?
No, we never fired them in that country. Never.
Presumably, if you'd fired the guns, you'd have scared the population, thinking air raid was
coming. Yes, most likely. Yeah.
But so it was only, in effect, exercises to prepare you up to the point of firing.
That's right, yeah. Then we crumbled for a while.
Before we leave there, where were you accommodated? What was the accommodation like?
Oh, these like huts. They were made of coconut fibre. The native used to them. They didn't use a nail. It was clever. Interwoven coconut leaves, such like, yeah. Very waterproof. Yeah.
And comfortable.
Oh yes, quite comfortable.
How many men to a hut?
About 20, roughly. Yeah, about 20 men.
And what were you sleeping on?
On old bedroom, like very. They were made of coconut rope, a thin rope or string, coconut string, crisscross into a net.
And do you have a mattress or?
No mattress, just a blanket. And mosquito net. You must have had the mosquito net. Mm.
Did you have to take precautions against mosquitoes? I know you mentioned the net there, but I'm thinking in terms of daily tablets or anything of that
yes.
nature.
Yes, they give us a tablet against that. What are they called? Methoquins. Yeah, methoquins, that's what it is.
And they had to be taken in front of an officer, did they?
Oh, yes, that it was compulsory. Trouble is, somebody wouldn't take them. They put them in the mouth and didn't swallow it. I know that. But I swallowed mine and never got malaria. And quite a few chaps did.
Why did some chaps not swallow it?
I haven't got a clue.
Didn't turn your skin yellow or anything like that, did it?
Didn't turn mine yellow, no. I was too brown. You wouldn't have sure, you wouldn't know. I think I was too brown with the sun. No.
Did you have natives in your camp to help with anything?
Oh yes.
What did they do?
One lad to do your shoes. All the shoes in that wood. And you had a dobi waller. What do you call a dobi waller? They'd do the washing. Of course, they'd be washed every day because you only had KD shirts and shorts and a vest. Very light clothes. And they were washed every day. And they were brought back every day. And we paid them, say, at the end of the week. Even you could get a shaviour. He's big in the Indian fellas. With an open razor. The shaviour lying in bed. Yeah, with a shaviour. Life was easier than it is in this country. Yeah.
So a great deal of the cleaning of equipment and boots, and that was done by natives for
oh,
you.
Yes. They peeled them at the end of the week. He did the whole lot. Yeah.
And did they work in the kitchens, in the dining areas?
No, we worked in we did that. No, yeah. But
did you get good relations with these people that were working for you? I mean, you're seeing them every day, obviously.
Oh, yes, quite good, yes. Quite good. And normally you pay them on the weekend, they're quite happy. Yes. Oh, yes, they're quite happy.
Was there a problem with VD on the island, with having lots of soldiers?
Yes, one or two. Yes, some got VD. Yeah.
But and that was an offence, of course, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. It was a classic self-inflicted wound. The pay was lost. The wives didn't never got to know, but because their pay carried on. When I was single, so I'm not sure about that, I think the soldier had to pay that money back eventually. So, but the only thing a soldier got, if his pay had been stopped, he got money for shaving, for toilet, yes, sir. The only money he got. Yeah, but his pay was stopped then.
Was there some process that before men went out and obviously were in danger of going to the brothels, was there some army system of protecting them before they got? Did they have to go through some system?
No, if they'd been out and been with one of these prostitutes, they came in, signed his book, they cleaned themselves. Yeah, clean yourself.
And presumably,
if you signed that book and you'd done it, and you did get VD, your pay wouldn't be stopped. As long as your name was in that book, yeah, your pay wouldn't be stopped. Mm. Yeah. But
there were regular medical inspections.
Oh yes, quite regular. Plenty of inoculations. Yeah.
What were they against?
Well, one I was on guard duty one day in this. In the street, this native collapsed. And they came round and put this white powder around him. I wonder what the devil was. Was outbreak of cholera. And we got inoculated or vaccinated against cholera. Oh, we had quite a lot of vaccinations and needles, especially far in the out east. Yeah, so always sticking needles for one thing or another, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm.
And did any men, to your knowledge, get any of these diseases whilst they were there?
Oh, yes. Yeah, yes.
Was there a military hospital in the city, or is it just the civilian?
No, civilian, yes.
So anyone went to hospital, they just went to the
civilian
hospital?
Yes. I had a friend went, he got VD. We went to visit him.
Yeah.
He told me it was a very painful operation the other day to get a cure, was what I was told. Very, very painful. Yeah. But
and you were there, as you say, 18 months. The food that you were getting, was it Oriental food?
No, British food, yeah.
Just the usual British food?
You should get a lot of goat meat, yeah. A bit stringy stuff, stringy that, goat meat. Oh, we went over to Trincomalee, somewhere within the island. That's a natural beer. Maybe just went in over Trincomalee. We were up and overlooking it. There was all jungle around us. And this sergeant, he used to put pig swill out. He said, I'll get it. You're going to get it one of these wild boars. And the other sergeants played a trick on him. They made the outline of a cardboard pig, just in the dark, after dark. And they pulled it slowly through, and he shot it. It fell over. He was going after one on a charge for doing that. He couldn't, naturally. But he did get a wild boar. Mm. Yeah, very nice. We went a big car. There were only two guns in that camp.
What size guns were these?
4.5s, yeah. There were only two guns on that one. That's a small gun. Only about 50 men. So the wild boar was...
I think we talked about the 3.7s early in the war. What was the 4.5 a better gun?
Static. 3.7 was mobile. You could lift the screen and could move it about, travel all over. Oh, are you there?
I don't know what this trick the sergeants, they made an outline of a boar and pulled it through there in the grass.
And he shot it, yeah.
He wasn't mad, this sergeant. This sergeant was in charge, he wasn't a sergeant major, but he was in charge of the camp. But at the end, he did wait a boar one night. That went a long way.
The 4.5 gun that we just begin to talk about,
yeah,
which is a static gun.
A static gun, yeah.
And presumably it was a better gun than 3.7, is that correct?
It was larger. I wouldn't say it was better. It would be the same. A larger shell, of course, not just 3.7, the size of the shell. 4.5, yeah.
In your training, comparing it with the beginning of the war and the training you had then, had there been an improved approach to firing on attacking aircraft? Had they designed some special ways of doing it? I'm thinking in terms of box barrages and that kind of thing.
I think I've mentioned, haven't I?
Yeah, I think you have actually.
When radar came, the new radar invention. Oh yes.
And did you have radar on this site?
Oh yes, that was. It was area big as a football field. It was covered with chicken wire. You could walk underneath it. And in the middle was this box with a thing going around. That was radar. First time we ever saw it. Well, it was being invented. Because the lads who went on the course was kept a secret. I don't think they even knew what they were doing. They might have learned a bit of different jobs that they do. But I don't think they even knew what it really was.
Just to touch on box barrage again, which I can't recall whether I mentioned or not. Obviously, that was presumed was to form a box of exploding shells around aircraft.
Yes.
And was the idea that they would fly into them rather than shooting at them?
Oh, yes. Well, the radar was... I was on telephones on me, and I was getting all the information from the command post. And I'd repeat it to the officer. He was repeating it to the guns. And the angles, the bearings, say. And it was effective. I wouldn't say, but you could change the bearings pretty quick. See, the Germans at that time, they wouldn't know what it was. They were wondering why we could fight so close in the dark. Because yeah. all the guns. The guns in the range of that, those planes or plane, whatever, it's all fired at once. It's all fired at one big block, barrage, yeah. We don't know what caused the damage. What damage was caused, but...
But Salon, you were saying, was quiet. You never fired a gun
in
anger.
Oh, no.
What time of the... are we talking about that when you were on for Salon?
In 1944, beginning of 1944.
And where did you go from there?
Oh, we just about disbanded. And they put the nails in on our guns. The Salon Army, of course. They put their swords on the gun anyway. And we transferred to infantry.
How did you feel about that? When it was announced to you?
Well, after all those years, I thought it was a little bit rough towards like, you know, that I'd already done.
Was this because of shortage of infantry that you were being transferred?
Most likely, yeah. Plus, there was no, we're getting no air raids, see? And so everything being very quiet. Even in this country, the air raids had practically stopped, barring down London with the doodle bombs. Anyway, we left Plumbo, we travelled up top of Salon, across the river, across the sea, or the ferry, into the bottom of India, and travelled all the way up to Delhi. We were there on a train for 9 days.
How did you feed, and how did they feed you on the train over 9 days?
Cheese and jam. We got one up meal. We stopped at the station, got one up meal.
And when you pulled into the station, were there people selling you things?
Oh, yes.
Milling around?
We told them, don't buy fruit. Dangerous. Okay. But plenty of tea, you get tea. You want to call it Shawalas. Yeah, that was a big, always carried a big light urn on the back. So they give it a cup of tea.
Was that through the window?
Yes.
Was the train guarded? Did you have guards on the doors? In case neighbours came in, or?
Only when it was stationary. When it was stationary, yeah.
And what about toilets on these trains?
Very similar. Our trains, but especially the troop train, we were using peace down, because you could make beds, bunks, different, about three, you get about six men, and you could look right down the carriage. Right. That's why you make those. But 9 days, and as time was stopped, we used to get a shower underneath this. Filled the engine up. We should get under that and pull the cord. As long as you didn't get in the middle, you're all right. You got in the middle, not your flat. That's how we got showers. We weighed our tea from the engine in a biscuit tin. With a tap coming from there, so steam and whatever. That's why we weighed our tea.
But were you, whilst you were on Ceylon, of course, at this period of time now, did you know what was going on in India as regards the fighting against the Japanese?
Through the papers, yes. Oh, you get these papers. Through the papers, yes. Mm. Yeah.
So, were you looking forward to meeting them?
Only if you had to. I wasn't a great brave hero. I like thousands more. I had to do my job. Yeah.
How often did you get mail?
Oh, pretty fairly often. Ross was censored, even from home. What you sent out there was all censored. We had these little mail, about 5 inches square. They went through by aeroplane.
Airmail letters.
Airmail letters. I forgot the name of them. Yes, airmail.
Were your families sending parcels to you?
No. The other way around. We sent parcels to them. All you could get, yeah.
And what were you sending back?
If we get a large box of tea on the tea plantation, you give them their name, your name, and the address, and they would send it for you. There was tea rationing in this community, yeah.
And your families were getting them?
They come through, all right? Yeah, yes. Yes, they got. Mm.